This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 5. In this episode, we're going to focus on the discussion around SharePoint 2013 deployments, specifically on-premises versus hosted deployments. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, Exchange, Link, and other related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. All right, here we go. Episode 5. You ready?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All righty. So what have you been up to lately, CJ?
Oh, things have been pretty busy. One thing I've been working on in my day job is moving a rather large production Azure deployment between different subscriptions. And I thought, you might find this interesting. So we have a big Azure project that sits, obviously in production, and we wanted to shimmy it around between subscriptions to take advantage of some better billing arrangements we've got with Microsoft now. And it turns out it's pretty straightforward to do. We were really freaked out that it was going to require downtime and all that sort of stuff, but a service request to Microsoft and some poking around through the Azure portal, and we moved a whole bunch of cloud services, web roles and worker roles and stuff, between subscriptions, no problem at all. And same goes for SQL and things like that. So it's all gone really well. But I was expecting it to be a really big deal, but we shifted subs with no downtime or very little downtime, I should say. And it's all been going pretty smoothly. So that's something I learned in the last week or so, that you can move that stuff around, no problem.
Yeah, I had a similar experience a couple months ago where I needed to move some stuff, not as a big of a deployment, but I was moving things also between the two subscriptions. And I was floored with how easy they made it. In fact, I had a guy that I created the support case, and I had a dude just kind of ping me one morning. I'm one of the crazy people that gets up at 5 in the morning before all the kids and the wife get up and everything. And it's pretty cool to see this guy just kind of jump on Link, some support center over in India or something, and chimed in and started talking to me. He's like, "Hey, I'm working on your case right now. Can we go through and just get this resolved real quick?" And I was like, "Oh my God, this is awesome." Yeah. Just screen share, da da da, flip a little bit here and there, and poof, it's like everything's running on a new subscription. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Do you need to reboot the cloud or anything for this to take effect?
Yeah, just give the cloud the three-finger salute.
Yeah, so, that's pretty slick.
Yeah, no, we had the similar experience. We logged a call, and it all happened way faster than we were actually expecting. So that was a pleasant and an unpleasant surprise, I guess. It all went really smoothly.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, well, that's cool. That's good feedback for them, I guess.
Yeah, it's as far as Microsoft support goes, you've got a few stories to tell around this, but the Azure support team seemed to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's. I remember when I was doing that with mine. I had a with my Azure support ticket. I had a ticket open for Office 365, and let's just say they were highly different experiences. So
yeah.
But yeah, we won't go there.
that's a story for another episode.
Exactly. That's another episode.
Yeah. Cool. So what have you been up to, AC?
Staying busy as well. Kind of working on churning through a new course that I'm working on for Pluralsight on advanced SharePoint 2013 workflows that will be out sometime in the next few months. I guess sometime I'd say in the October-November timeframe, 2013. But also splitting a little bit of time off as well as working on a new SaaS product idea with someone to brainstorm on a need that the market has. And it's kind of fun to explore and really dive into the whole SaaS world and everything.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. It's very promising. So very, very excited.
Yeah. You ready to share it with the world, or what's going on there?
The person I'm working on it with, we've kind of decided that we need to get a little more things organized and answer some questions that we have before we share with everybody else. It'd be a little too premature to do it, but definitely not going to be secretive about this, and we'll be pretty vocal about it. So I'll be sure to let you know when we're ready to go live, and I'm sure it'll be something that is something that would apply to the show as well, to the show audience as well. So
yeah, cool. Well, it sounds like let's revisit this a little further down the line.
Yeah, it'll be fun stuff. So pretty geeked up about it. But
love it. Love getting geeked up.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's dive into the show here. In this show, as we talked about a little bit on the introduction, is going to be about talking about the different kinds of SharePoint deployments we have with SharePoint 2013 between an on-premises model or a hosted or cloud model. And it's pretty timely because we reached out for a couple of questions from some close friends. And one of them, Laura Rogers, who you can find on Twitter at WonderLaura. That's WONDERLAURA. You can find her on Twitter at WonderLaura or on her blog at WonderLaura.com. Laura really nailed what we're going to talk about in two questions. So let me go ahead and just kind of play her questions that she sent in real quick, and then we'll take a stab at them.
Hey guys, this is Laura. I have a cloud question for you. What is the difference between a public and a private cloud? When it comes to SharePoint, what is the difference between having a hosted SharePoint environment and having a SharePoint environment that is in the cloud?
Yeah, so great questions, Laura. Those are really applicable to what we're going to talk about today. So we got a bunch of thoughts on this. I guess, you know, there's a couple different ways, in my opinion. I guess let me first answer your questions, at least from my take, and then CJ can do it, and then we'll kind of throw on some different points on it that we build off on this. So your first question on what's the difference between a public and a private cloud, and I guess, you know, in one sense, a public cloud, that's going to be, to me, that's what Microsoft is doing with Office 365, where they have hosted SharePoint and they're doing everything from the back end side of performance and backups and maintenance and uptime and patches and all that stuff, where we don't touch that at all. We just use the software. Whereas a private cloud is one that is someone else has stood up a SharePoint deployment for me, and they're managing it for me. But it's my own little cloud. It's kind of like a company like Rackspace would have a collection of servers, or FP Web, or anybody that really can do data farms or server farms. They're going to host this stuff for me and maintain the servers and all that kind of stuff. So what about you? Do you have anything that you'd say differently about that?
No, I think the only sort of thing I would add to that is that, you know, when people talk about private cloud, it's not necessarily, or it's usually not, you know, service specific, right? So companies want to invest in a private cloud. They want some of the benefits of the cloud without necessarily some of the drawbacks of the public cloud. So drawbacks could be things like, you know, security and data sovereignty and things like that. They want to know where their data is. They want control over it. They want full control over the security, but they also want some of the benefits of the cloud as well, such as, you know, scalability and on-demand computing and things like that. And so the private cloud is really, you know, in those cases, they're trying to aim for getting some of those benefits and being more flexible with their IT infrastructure and so forth, and being able to, you know, provision up new web front ends for their SharePoint farm on demand, or new SQL boxes, or new XYZ service, you know? So some of that flexibility and elasticity of the cloud, but controlled in a private environment.
Yeah, those are good points. I failed to mention those. I agree with you completely on that. Those are good points.
Whether it actually occurs like that is completely separate, but
it all worked on the Visio diagram.
Exactly. It's very hot topical buzzword bingo right now. So it's interesting. Which actually brings me to, you know, an interesting point about, you know, what is the cloud is used a lot now, and back in my day, you know, all these young kids are using cloud, this and that and the other thing. Back in my day, you used to just have data centers. So what's changed?
What's changed on the data? It's all the same. It's just kind of who's managing it. I guess in one sense, you've got the big difference, I would say, is, you know, it's now a real product offering instead of having a massive investment of standing up your own data centers. I'm with you. I worked for a startup, and we had a healthcare biotech kind of thing we were doing. And we had to have two data centers, one on each coast of the United States. And in order to do it, we needed to raise funding to build out the data centers, have the servers built out and everything. And we were going to manage them or have a staff that managed them. I guess the benefit now is that, you know, cloud says that I'm not going to do that. Somebody else has already got that going for me. And I guess it's more of the sense now to me that cloud is the same way how we think about our power, our electricity. I don't have a generator or an electric company sitting in my backyard generating power for my house or anything. Instead, somebody centralized is doing it, and they're selling me a sliver of the electricity they provide. And, you know, we just treat computing power now as the same thing. We treat it as just a commodity that we just want to use the amount of stuff that we're going to use. And if there's any excess, either other people take it over or it's a poor planning on the hoster. So,
yeah, it's kind of like how time-sliced or time-shared computing used to work back in the 70s, right? You know, you used to go buy a little slice of time on the mainframe or whatever, and, you know, you did your thing, and then somebody else took it over. And I guess that's kind of the same with VMs in the cloud now, is you go run a VM, and when you turn it off, you're giving back up that capacity, and somebody else can use it.
Yeah, it's a lot much more corporate offering than the whole SETI screensaver thing that we used to do about 10 years ago or so, right?
yeah, exactly. So this sort of leads, you know, something I wanted to mention is, you know, the difference between on-prem versus hosted versus the cloud. And you know, talking a little bit about what people are doing in each of those scenarios and you know, the benefits and pros and cons of each. And I think we'll try to address that as we go through some of the rest of these points here.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty good thing to jump into right now. I mean, that's one of the challenges that I have is that people, and I know that, you know, different vendors are going to probably get frustrated with me saying this or with anybody saying this, but I think that this term hosted now is just such an overloaded term. And I know that some of the different vendors are using they use the term hosted to me as a what is really not a hosted solution. I think Office 365. I mean, I'm not doing anything or have any access to any of the servers. Somebody else is dealing with that. I'm just using the services that they provide. In my mind, when I've got someone out there that is going to well, I guess a good way, we should probably step back and kind of define what this is. I mean, to me, like I said, what cloud is, that's Office 365, no access to the servers. The complete other extreme for that to me is on-prem, which is I'm installing SharePoint on my servers, on my hardware. My administrators are responsible for the performance and the maintenance, the backups and all that kind of stuff and the uptime. But it's all on me. I'm responsible from that as the owner of the company or whatever, that all that's got to be running. There's a middle ground, though, where maybe I don't want to maintain the servers. And so what I do is I go to a hosting company, and that company is going to provide either physical or virtual servers for me. They're going to potentially install, potentially configure, manage backups, performance, all that kind of stuff. They're going to do all of that on the SharePoint servers for me. But I still have access to those servers if I need access, just like I do if I am on-prem. The difference here is that I'm not managing those servers. And to me, that's not a hosted solution. To me, that is simply a certain way to sell managed services. That's just someone else that's built, that's running the environment for me. So it's kind of a middle ground between the two. The thing that I see people get confused with is that I think that term hoster is used for both Office 365 and for companies that are doing true managed services.
Yeah, it is definitely some gray area there, right, where the words mean different things to different people. For me, it's real clear. It's like on-prem, you're having to feed and water and plug everything in and manage everything 100% yourself. Hosted, you lose a bit of that control. So somebody's probably plugging the servers in and plugging the network in, but you've still got control over the firewall and the virtual machine hosts or what have you, potentially. But they're looking after sticking the things in a rack and hosting them for you. And then cloud, it's totally hands off. You've just got access from the application layer upwards, and you don't see any of the VMs or any of the infrastructure, and it's all done for you. So that's my definition of it anyway.
Yeah, so I guess there was the part that you and I both kind of like differed on too, where you were using the term hosted for that middle group of people that I'm calling managed services. Where I use cloud and hosted solution as kind of synonymous, right?
Right.
I mean, because the reason I do that, especially from those of us that are coming from the SharePoint space, is that it's most offerings that we look at are not, they're usually, it's a different offering of what's in the cloud versus what I install. So if I look at, you know, like a Salesforce.com, there is no on-prem version of that. It is only a cloudy version. If I look at QuickBooks, there are two different offerings, but they are clearly different offerings. One, I install and do a lot of the same things locally, but then there's also a totally separate version of it that's been written in a different way that runs in the cloud. For those of us in the SharePoint world, that's a different story, because in SharePoint, we are in this weird kind of, you know, not really sure where Microsoft is on it, but we're in this weird stage of having a product that I can install locally, but then Microsoft has installed it on my behalf in Office 365. But, you know, then there's the whole, like, this is the part that's more interesting these days with SharePoint for me, is what's the business of SharePoint? You know, how are we going to see this? Are we going to have a true cloudy version of SharePoint and a true on-prem version? What does the release look like? The patches, blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes, but...
I think the big differentiator for me between hosted and cloud is like in a cloud, with a cloud service, any service, doesn't have to be SharePoint or anything like that. I just expect never to have to worry about capacity or performance or anything like that. I just want to stick more stuff in it, and I know that it's going to expand to meet my needs. Sure, that the person providing that service might charge me more for putting more in it, but I never sort of feel like I've got some artificial boundary of capability or storage or performance or whatever. I feel like I should just be able to buy more capacity and boom, it's there, and I don't have to worry about how it happens.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's either I'm going to buy more capacity, or it's I'm buying a service. It's you, the provider, it's your responsibility to
make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I'm like on Salesforce, I'm going to buy a certain level of an account, and you know, they sell it based on the seats or based on how much stuff you're actually, how much data you're using. But you know, if you've got 10 sales guys on Salesforce that are kind of using it a little bit throughout the day, and you've got another customer right next door to them who these sales guys are like power Salesforce users, and they're just beating the hell out of it. You know, it's up to Salesforce to make sure that both those guys are paying the same and their performance is right, or they need to change their pricing model to make sure the usage on one side is paid for in relation to the usage on the other side. It's interesting. It's an interesting new business. I think a lot of companies are still trying to, like, you know, fuddle through and figure some out. And we have a couple guys that are, I think, in the big dogs that know what's going on.
I think especially now that Microsoft are, you know, until a few years ago, it was a lot clearer. And then Microsoft came along. BPOS was kind of a bit of a joke, really. Like, it, you know, Exchange was great in BPOS, but SharePoint and BPOS was pretty poor.
Yep.
Whereas now Office 365 is much more of a proper SharePoint experience. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect by any stretch, but it's far better than you know, what was in BPOS, which was the sort of previous cloud version of the Microsoft services. And you know, since they came up with 365, a lot of the other hosters are trying to sort of scramble around and find their footing. Mm-hmm. And are changing their business model a bit as well. So like folks like FP Web and Rackspace, who you are the two that sort of spring to mind, who I would go to first to go if I wanted a SharePoint farm hosted or what have you. They've always done, you know, farms for you, you know, that you can go get with them, but also, you know, whether they're you know, looking at trying to provide a similar kind of service to 365 where you don't have to worry about hardware or anything like that. I think that's probably where we'll start seeing them offering a whole bunch of different options and configs and things like that, will compete.
Yeah. I mean, there's challenges that they have. There's challenges that they have with a lot of their stuff too, because it's, you know, you see the social story changing with SharePoint, where it's changing so much that, you know, there is a story for Office 365 where it appears that Yammer is going to take over the entire social story, but Yammer is a hosted only solution. So if you've got someone who's on-prem, you know, they can connect their on-prem to environment to Yammer. But if they say, no, I want to be 100% on-prem, which is what a company like a Rackspace or an FP Web would be able to support as a managed service, you know, I don't see how they can do that with Yammer. So it's not a knock on them. It's just the way the product's going. So it's a really dynamic thing that we have to see where this ship goes, but the seas are still moving pretty good. So,
Yeah, and you know, the sort of the final thing on this, I would say, is, you know, whether customers are ready or not, right? There's going to be a whole bunch of different options they've got to evaluate going forward, and I think it's a good thing for the SharePoint universe, right? Having all these different choices for how the thing gets hosted, because typically in the past, SharePoint's a bit of a dog to manage mm-hmm. yourself. Unless you know what you're doing, right? You can get yourself in a bunch of trouble unless you've got a good set of SharePoint admins. So I'm all for hosted or cloud options for SharePoint, just because of the benefits around costs and having better experts at managing it.
I was going to say cost is my number one thing, and then number two is just it's one less thing for me to deal with. I don't have to worry about backups and management stuff. I mean, it's just, you see so many more people moving stuff to the cloud just to make their lives easier. So
yeah, I guess we'll see where the tides shift, but it's going to get exciting.
It is definitely going to get exciting. Cool. Well, I hope this has been a good discussion, and I hope that we've answered your question, Laura. I know we've kind of touched on a couple different things here, but I really appreciate the questions and really came in nicely with what we were going to talk about today. So, all right, so let's take another listener question here. We got another one from a friend of ours, Jeremy Thake. You can find Jeremy on Twitter at jthake. It's J-T-H-A-K-E. Or you can find him on his blog at jeremythake.com. So, Jeremy, let's go ahead and play your question.
Thanks so much for doing this show. So, Jeremy Thake, Chief Architect at AvPoint. Quick question to both of you guys, AC and CJ. How much of what you run is in the cloud, and how much have you got running on on-premise boxes? So how much is actually running as Windows Azure web roles and worker roles and SQL roles, and how much of it you still got in VMs, either on-premises or in non-Microsoft cloud technologies?
Cool. Good question, Jeremy. So how much of what we run is in the cloud versus on-prem? So I'll take a stab at that first. I guess, you know, there's always what you do or like what I do specifically, and then what I do with my customers. So specifically for me, 100% of my stuff is in the cloud. I'm an independent owner operator of my own consultancy or own company. And so I don't want to maintain any of my own hardware or anything. I do have a couple of servers in my office that do run a SharePoint environment that I use for testing and development and such. But none of my production stuff is on it. I personally have all of my SharePoint stuff is in Office 365. Primarily for cost and for maintenance and accessibility. So I don't have to worry about getting access to it or setting up a firewall to my house or something, or my home office. But as far as my customers go, most of the work that I do is still around the web content management space. And I would say that a significant number of my customers, almost a 3-to-1, if not a 4-to-1, ratio are on-prem versus Office 365. All of 100% of my WCM customers are all on-prem, but most of the people that I'm working with are still not moving over to Office 365. A lot of people are still confused by a lot of the messaging, and I think that a lot of the guidance, the feedback that I'm getting is that a lot of the guidance from a lot of customers is that they are have seen kind of like the same push from Microsoft, but not really addressing some of the questions that they have around moving their stuff to Office 365. So a lot of people are just sticking with their on-prem. Although I do see a lot of people doing like some hybrid stuff of moving their collaboration and my sites to the cloud, but keeping their core stuff they're doing in their company on-prem. So what about you, CJ?
I obviously work for Provoke Solutions, and we're about 120 in size, so we're a few more folks than sole proprietor, so to speak. And internally, we used to be completely on-prem, so we used to manage all of our own stuff in a data center, Exchange, and we're a Link outfit, so we use Link a lot, and we use a lot of SharePoint. But more recently, sort of in the last 12 to 18 months, I suppose, we've moved not entirely to the cloud, but predominantly to the cloud. So we're 100% in Exchange Online for all of our corporate mail and our organization's mail. That's the first thing we moved. Link is a little more tricky. We're on-prem for Link because of our geographic and local call-in numbers in different countries around the world and all that sort of stuff. That seems to be a bit harder to work out purely in the cloud. So we're still on-prem for Link. And then SharePoint's kind of hybrid. So we have SharePoint Online for some stuff we use for client extranet sites. But then also on-prem, we have our intranet is still on-prem. And that's predominantly just a historical thing. We've just got a ton of content in there, and we haven't looked at moving that to the cloud yet. But that's probably the next cab off the rank. In terms of customers, we're seeing loads of traction on getting people to Office 365. And the first cab off the rank for that is Exchange, right? So for most customers, moving their email to the cloud is a total no-brainer. Like that is the easiest piece of the puzzle to do. It's certainly tons easier than SharePoint Online, right? And the benefits are very clearly articulated by Microsoft, and they're easy to justify. Not having to maintain a whole bunch of on-prem Exchange services is an easy sell. And Microsoft run Exchange in the cloud extremely well. So it works pretty well. That's usually a total no-brainer for them. So we're doing a bunch of those sorts of migrations, getting folks up to Exchange Online. And then some of the more forward-thinking companies are looking at SharePoint Online. We have one real forward-thinking customer who's doing hybrid but all in the cloud. And I know that sounds really stupid, but it's kind of interesting because they're doing SharePoint Online plus a SharePoint farm in IaaS in Azure, so running SharePoint in VMs in Azure. So they've kind of got a hybrid model, but all in the cloud.
That's interesting.
they don't want any management of any on-prem servers whatsoever. But they also want to do stuff in SharePoint that you can't do in SharePoint Online. So hence they've ended up with SharePoint in the cloud and SharePoint, a SharePoint farm running in Azure Virtual Machines as well.
How far along have they done that? Like, are they rolled out and using that in production now? Are they planning it? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been in prod for a while. So we've built that up for them, and there's a bunch of they actually get all of their physical mail that come to the company scanned and then uploaded up into Azure Blob Storage, where a whole bunch of Azure processes happen to churn and extract metadata from it, and then we push that mail into SharePoint Online and parts of it into SharePoint.
IaaS, that's pretty cool. That's
although it's a technically very cool solution, I think the real killer is this company's forward thinking about seeing the benefits of the cloud and not wanting to do stuff on-prem and doing it in IaaS. I think, you know, so although technically it's a very interesting solution from a geekiness point of view, I find it equally as interesting that this company was keen to do
cool.
it like that.
That is really cool. That's, you know, and one thing you mentioned too in your response too, I do see a ton of people moving 365, and 99% of it, you know, and people, the first thing they're talking about is Exchange, because Exchange just seems to be moving mail, moving something that's not going to be customized to the cloud is, like you said, it's a no-brainer, with the exception of there being any kind of policy around government or specific messages that go around for different industries and everything that have to be highly regulated or whatever. But mail is the no-brainer on to go up there. So I would love to see, I had a blog post in the summer of 2013 where I kind of openly asked, and you know, I don't know if we'd ever see this, but of the number of people that are in Office 365, I'd love to see what the utilization is between Link and Exchange and SharePoint. And, you know, I would assume that Exchange is so heavily weighted compared to the other ones. But I wonder where is, you know, how much data do customers have on average in SharePoint and 365, and how much, you know, how many people are actively using Exchange, you know, of the people that are using it, you know, it's where are the hot spots on that one user? So,
I think Exchange is, the history of Exchange is it, you know, it was effectively a hosted service on-prem for most customers already anyway. Like, business units didn't really apply to get a specific customization done to their email service, right? And so Exchange, the maturity of Exchange as a cloud product is so much further along than SharePoint or Link, just because of that history. You know, they were multi-tenant first. They were, you know, there were ISPs hosting Exchange theoretically in the cloud for a number of years before SharePoint was ever doing the same. So it's, I think it's just a bit further along the maturity model.
Agreed.
Than the others. But you're right about that data. It would be fascinating to see. I don't think Microsoft will release it, obviously, but I suspect it's extremely lopsided in Exchange's
favor. I'm sure that's a report that they've got internally, but I think that would just be fascinating between the different drill down. I could see all of these like PowerView kind of spreadsheets kind of coming together, and you know, where's this, and you know, this number of people are this weighted in Exchange, and they're using this much of SharePoint and this much of Link, and that I'd be cool to see that. But yeah, I can see where competitive advantage and trade secrets, they wouldn't want to share that, but.
And the other piece to it is, like, you don't deploy Exchange mailboxes in Exchange Online unless there's a user attached and you're going to use it, whereas you can deploy a user into SharePoint Online and they never touch it, right? So like, deployed seats is one measure that Microsoft talk about a lot, but it's not really the measure that we're after in terms of interesting data.
Cool. Well, this has been a pretty good episode. At least I hope that this has been a pretty good episode for everyone. I think we've covered a good bit of stuff here. Yeah, I got a couple questions in and talked about the differences between on-prem versus hosted. Any parting thoughts you have, CJ?
No, I think it's been a really interesting discussion. I think this is, you know, something that's going to evolve over time, and we're gonna probably have this discussion two or three times down the track in years to come, right? So it's be interesting to watch this space.
If you have a question for us, go to mscloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Air by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at mscloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.